Welcome to Financial Peace University, Lesson 5, Buyer Beware.
Please welcome Dave Ramsey.
Woo! Yeah! Yes! All right! Yes! Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Buyer beware is our lesson this evening. Make sure you find that in your workbooks. Buyer beware. In Latin, the term is caveat emptor. You now know all the Latin I know. I learned that in the real estate business. Back in the old days in the real estate business, we didn't have buyer's agents. The listing agent and the selling agent both got paid by the seller, and so the buyer technically had no representation. And so the saying in the real estate business that we were taught back in 1978 when I took my real estate test, the very first one I took, was let the buyer beware. And I thought of that when I thought of this whole subject matter for you. You, the buyer, need to beware. See, up to now, what we've been doing is teaching you about saving and relationships and money and getting out of debt and having a plan. And now what I want to explain to you is there's a massive group of people out there trying to sell you stuff. They want to interrupt your plan. Shields up, baby, because they're coming for your deal. They are messing with you. They're wanting to get their fingers, their claws, their wedges into your life and sell you stuff and interrupt your plan. And so I need to teach for a few minutes and let's talk about how that works in our spirits, how this stuff has effect on us, so that once we have that knowledge, that gives us the shields to make wise buying decisions. Companies use every angle to aggressively compete for your money. Companies that don't do a good job of marketing and don't get your money go out of business. They are for profit. They're not evil. Their job is to sell you their stuff, their goods or services. To the extent they don't do that, they leave. So it's pretty desperate out there in the marketplace. They're fighting and scratching and clawing to get your business, to market to you, to convince you that what they have is not a need, it's not a want, it's a necessity. You have to have it. And they got to drill that down into your psyche. They work really hard to cause that to happen. We live in the most marketed to culture in the history of the world. At this moment in time, we have more advertising impressions and marketing processes driven at us than at any time in the history of the human race. That's a pretty wild thought. And in North America, we are the king of marketing. We're the king of it. And so you, those of us that are call ourselves citizens of the United States of America, we get impacted harder than any human beings in the history of the world by this marketing. That's a pretty big statement if you think about it. But that's not over-dramatized. That is really the way things are. So we have to become wise consumers. We have to get control of this spending so it doesn't take over our lives and these things don't enter into our lives. Now, they go after our money in several major ways. Major ways companies market to us. The first one is personal selling. Many of us, me included, have been trained in the art of selling one-on-one. Of helping someone realize the benefits of our product, our good, or our service. And they see the benefits of that and they will exchange their hard-earned money for that. A salesman who does not learn that art form does not understand the interpersonal skill of making a persuasive argument goes broke. Zig Ziglar's brother years ago, a guy named Judge Ziglar, wrote a book that's called Timid Salesmen Have Skinny Kids. And if you don't learn how to sell in the sales situation, you have to go do something else. The classic salesperson, of course, is on the car lot. And the basic close, first thing we're ever taught in sales is never answer a question except with another question. And so someone comes up and they see a Ford Taurus sitting there and they see a green one and they say, do you have this in blue? The salesman or sales lady that says yes is pretty quickly out of business. Or no. You never just answer the question. You say, I'll be happy to check on that. But now, were you looking for a two-door or a four-door? I think a four-door. Were you looking for the sport version or the luxury package? Oh, I'm thinking luxury. You think the sunroof would be in order? Or are you thinking maybe you want to save those dollars? Oh, no, we don't want the sunroof. Did you want the one with all four wheels? And as I'm asking all of these questions, I'm basically filling out the order. The National Auto Dealers Association, that has studied sales in that setting on the car lot, knows that 88% of the time that someone is on a new car lot and does a test drive, that if they leave the lot, 88% of the time they will never be back. And you promise them you're coming back. You really mean to come back. But by the time you take a test drive, you have car fever. And it causes you to lie. You didn't mean to lie, but it causes you to lie. Oh, because he's such a nice guy. We're just going to look around and then we'll be back. In 72 hours, you'll buy a car. And 88% of the time, you won't be back. In the business, in the car business, they call them be-backs. So when they start that I'll be back thing, you get ready to leave. You say, oh, I'm coming back, I promise. You look down, there'll be something around your ankle and it's the salesman. Don't leave, right? Because they know if you get off the lot, 9 out of 10 times they've lost you. You're gone. It's the basics of selling. And so you need to understand that there are people that study this art form. They spend tens of thousands of dollars and tens of thousands of man hours learning how to do alternative closes, learning how to walk you through a benefits presentation. The art of persuasion is alive and well, and it causes us, you and I, to buy things. It really, really does. Another way they get at us is financing and convenient payment methods. Now, one of the things I've talked to you a lot through this whole course, and I'm going to keep talking to you about it, is I want you to be able to feel money. When you finance something, you don't feel it. You don't feel the weight of it. For instance, if you get ready to buy a living room suit and it's $4,000 for all the pieces, if you have to pay $4,000 for it, you went, wow, that's heavy. I just bought something. But if they can get you to finance it, you don't think about it. All you're asking is how much down, how much a month? That's what poor people ask. How much down, how much a month? Rich people ask, how much? They feel the weight of the decision. Financing the decision takes the weight of it off. It's a method of marketing. And so we have stuff out there like 90 days, same as?
Cash.
Well, that doesn't really work out that way, because 88% of the 90 days, same as cash contracts, convert to payments that are usually around 24% interest, APR, with the rule of 78's prepayment penalty. Now, rule of 78's we're not going to go into, but basically that means they're going to kick you in the teeth if you try to pay it off early, and they're going to get a whole bunch of the interest that they didn't even earn. So it's the worst of the worst. Most people don't pay it off in 90 days, and it converts to payments, and they back charge you through the whole 90 days. And because you didn't feel the weight of the purchase when you bought it, you just said, press hard, there's three copies as you're signing. You've got to place that signature there. That's the whole thing. And 89% of new car purchases are financed according to cars.com. So that's 9 out of 10 people that buy a new car somehow don't pay for it. They pay for it in the form of financing. And so they never think about whether that car is $23,000 or $18,000. All they think about is how much a month and how much down. And that takes the pressure off of the purchase. And so financing becomes a method of marketing. Also, anything they can do to make it just convenient and easy for you to buy and not even think about it and not see and touch real money causes you to buy. Store loyalty cards. Store reward cards, store credit cards. We'll give you 10% off if you sign up for our credit card as you're buying this. And you promise that you're going to go home and cut it up as soon as it comes in the mailbox, but then there's another sale. They know this. They know exactly what their conversion rate is. Every time they know that someone signs up, they know how many are going to cut it up. They know how many are going to close. And believe me, they wouldn't be giving that discount unless they made money on average across our stupid decisions. This is not a game for them. It's a mathematical science. They're studying our behavior. We're like a bunch of lab rats, and they're watching what we are doing. Mobile payment options, paying for things on your mobile phone. Now, here's a real good idea. Be in traffic and make a decision to buy something. You are not registering emotionally the purchase, are you? You're not catching the purchase. So anything they can do to make it convenient. In the phones now are the NFC chips, and we're starting to see already that you can just walk in with your phone and buy something. You put your numbers on there. You can hit PayPal. Just walk in there and buy something. You put your numbers on there, your debit card. You just walk in there and buy something. And see, you don't register holding a cell phone versus holding real money. You don't realize you're actually buying things. Apple, man, they're just geniuses. They are excellent, excellent marketers. And they've got the new iPhone Apple app. You can put it on your iPhone, and what you can do is walk into the Apple store with your iPhone, take an item, maybe some nice headphones off the shelf, scan it yourself, it's already charged to your account, and you walk out. There's no checkout line, there's no interaction with any of their staff. It's instantaneous, low impact, very convenient. And you don't even realize you just bought something with Apple's incredible margins. They have incredible margins. That's how they pay for all that marketing. And they are excellent. They're a great company. I'm not mad at them. I just want you to understand how good they are. And when interviewed, people ask immediately, well, aren't you worried about theft? Aren't you worried about shrinkage? And the Apple comment was just fabulous. I love it. It says, the risk of shrinkage is not worth losing the convenience. Translation, we're going to sell so much stuff, if something gets stolen, it'll be okay. That's really what they're saying, and that's really what's going on. Now, obviously, they've got theft protection things in there. They're not crazy. But the point is, make it easy for the customer to buy, and the customer buys more, and you're the customer. So you have to have your shields up. TV, radio, magazines, internet, the impact of all of these things with media where they just pound their message at us. Just boom, boom, boom. It's a steady beat of these drums. TV ads are fabulous. They are works of art. A typical 30-second national TV commercial costs nearly $300,000 to produce. That's $10,000 a second. They spend $10,000 a second to produce a 30-second ad. That's the average. Meanwhile, that ad is running in the middle of a television program that costs somewhere around $300,000 to produce, which is around $83 a second. So the stupid television program we're watching, they paid $83 a second to produce so they can sell us stuff that they spend $10,000 a second to produce. Are you getting the picture? Are you learning what business they're in? They're in the business of selling us stuff. Now, this is not a conspiracy theory, and I'm not paranoid or anything like that. These guys are just great marketers. And you can't wander along with your brain half plugged in because you're going to come home and there's going to be a garage full of stuff and you have no idea who bought it, and then it'll suddenly occur to you it was you. Because they have a plan to get your money. And you have to have a plan to not let them interrupt your plan. And repetition is powerful. It drills it into our spirit. Let me show you the power of repetition on a couple of things. How many of you were born since 1971? You were born since 1971. Looks like about half the room. Well, an interesting thing happened in 1962. On Wednesday night, a new television program came on in 1962. It was called the Beverly Hillbillies. Beverly Hillbillies is a phenomenon. It's actually a marketing phenomenon. It's very, very interesting because the thing ran from 1962 to 1971. And it was always on Wednesday night except one year when they moved it to Thursday. Ratings went down. They moved it right back to Wednesday. They stayed right in the same place, drilling into the American psyche. 274 episodes. They did 106 in black and white, and they did 168 in color. There has not been a new Beverly Hillbillies episode other than the movies filmed since 1971. It, of course, went into reruns, and many of you watched it in reruns. But it's interesting to me how many of you can help me with this. You remember how the show began? Help me with this. Come listen to a story about a man.
Yes.
We could keep going. Well, first thing, you know, we won't. Okay. Right? Half the room wasn't born yet, and everybody in here can sing it. Repetition is powerful when drilled consistently at you in exactly the same way over and over and over again. Think about this. Finish this one for me. Things go better with
Coke.
1968 is when that slogan came out. You deserve a McDonald's. 1971. This is how powerful this is. Think about it. Where's the
beef?
1985, and it was such a popular advertisement, and we worship marketing so much in this country, they brought it back as a retro ad, didn't they? And of course, Clara Peller died in 1987. Here's the oldest one, and everyone can do it. They're still using it. Melts in your mouth.
Not in your hands.
M&M's, 1954. And you tell me marketing doesn't work? And we're singing all this stuff like it's an old hymn in here right now. This stuff works. It has power. It has integrated itself into our lives to the point that we, you know, we'll buy an old Coca-Cola antique sign to put up in our den. People will buy t-shirts for the opportunity to wear these brands and be walking billboards for other companies and pay for the right to do that. How interesting a culture we now live in. This is fabulous, but you, in order to have financial peace, have to get your shields up. Now, you can enjoy the process of buying things, but you now need to be an adult and not just be led to the slaughter like a bunch of sheep anymore. That's what we're laying in place here. And of course, the one I love is Amazon's One Click. Oh, I love Amazon One Click. That's where you set up an account with them, and anytime you see something, you just click on it, and you just click on it, and click on it, and my whole basement was full of books. Because I'm a book junkie. Make it easy for the customer to buy, and they will buy more, whether it's convenience or whether it's financing. Then there's product positioning. Now, product positioning takes on a couple of different forms. Form one it takes on is it takes on the form of how they position themselves in our minds. For instance, Mercedes has done a great job marketing their product. Mercedes is a great car. I love them. They're awesome. And they position themselves in our mind as the car that holds its value. Mercedes don't go down like others. Yes, they do. It's a myth. Cadillac actually spent $100 million on an advertising campaign back in the 90s. Full page ads everywhere showing the statistical evidence, the real numbers that Cadillacs percentage wise held their value better than Mercedes. But Mercedes had done such a good job sticking that in the American public's mind that no one believed the ads and the ad campaign was a flop. And it was based on facts. But they positioned their product in our minds in a certain way where we believe it. And of course, anything that Apple produces is really cool. I mean, I got Apple stuff just hoping I'd get some spike hair. There was almost one, and then it went away. I mean, I didn't want to be a PC, even though I'm an old bald guy. What great marketing. What a great job they've done. They are the cool of computers. They're the cool of electronics. They're the cutting edge. And they position themselves marketing. Now, they may or may not have a better operating system. They may or may not have a better handheld device. Doesn't matter. They've convinced everybody that they do. That's marketing. And they put it in your mind. Bottled water. I love this one. I've got a friend who's a water snob. A water snob? He can tell the difference. No, he can't. There's no way. I was getting ready to do an event with 2020 with John Stossel, and so I thought I better read a couple of John's books before I went up there. That was before he left 2020, and so I read a couple of his books, and one of the things I found in there was very interesting. He did this full expose on the bottled water phenomenon. I mean, and so they got the expensive bottled water, and they got, you know, the generic bottled water. Generic water. That's interesting, isn't it? What a great job they do. And then he got New York City tap water. and they put them out on a table in glasses, exactly the same temperature, exactly the same level, controlled environment, had people taste test. The most expensive water lost. New York tap water came in third. They took it to a biologist, a microbiologist. He said all the waters were almost identical except the New York tap water, which had a little more fluoride in it, was probably actually better for you. But other than that, they were identical. Guess who lost? Evian. They lost the taste test. Interesting. It's kind of interesting to me that Evian spelled backwards is naive. Color. Color in terms of product positioning. You take like an ERA real estate sign, that ugly orange. I used to work for those guys. It gets your attention. You see it when you're driving. The color matters. It doesn't blend in with the landscape. That was a professionally done color analysis to come up with that orange. And since it worked so well, apparently the same company that comes up with ugly colors that catch your attention did Century 21. So we got yellow and orange. I feel like we're in traffic school, right? But it catches your peripheral vision as you drive by. Oh, there's a house for sale. And they're positioning themselves, they're doing everything they can to get your attention and hold your attention. Shelf position matters. The books that are in the bookstore are not at the front because they're the best books. That's because those of us that are authors have publishers that paid that bookstore for that shelf position. If you're a Nabisco and you want your Oreos in a certain place in the store, and you do want them in a certain place in the grocery store, you will pay for that shelf position. Merchandising. Grocery stores are some of the best merchandisers on the planet. They study how you work the aisles better than anybody else. They put the stuff at the right position. All the kids' stuff is down here. Of course, the impulse things. Wrigley's gum was the first to discover that right there at the register, right? And that made the Wrigley family wealthy because they had the impulse items right there at the register. This stuff is not done on accident. These people study you and I like lab rats. They are all over us. And so what happens is this. I'm out there pumping my gas, and the stupid debit card thing won't work, and it's hot. And so I'm kind of aggravated now. And I walk into the store, and as I'm walking up to pay, there's one of these. Of course, where that is sitting is scientifically placed. If it's too much in my way, it aggravates me and does damage to the brand. If it's not enough in my way, I don't even see it and walk past it. So it has to be just perfect to where I see it. And I walk up to it, now I'm aggravated and I'm hot, and I see a Mountain Dew and I pull it out. And a piece of ice runs and drops off. And as it does that, in my subconscious, I go off a tire swing into a creek. And I walk over and pay more for this than I would have paid for a case of them across the street at the grocery store. It's a different thing. Or I can go in here and I can get me some Deer Park water, right? Some of that generic water. I'm not sure we should be drinking from where a deer parked. Something to think about. They position things in such a way that we see them, touch them, feel them, see them. The colors, the shelf position, none of this is an accident. People who do these things by accident go out of business. The competition out there is too fierce. You and I have to beware.